Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP, the Deeper Daily Podcast. For December the 10th, I'm your host, Paul White. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 2. Yesterday we read the first verse and we tried to deal with Peter's description of false teachers, false prophets in the Old Testament, false teachers in the New Covenant era that Peter is in. But there were also, this is verse 1, false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. This phrase, even denying the Lord who bought them, is one that I want to take a little closer look at on today's podcast, because it usually leads people down a road of arguing from a sort of Arminian theological background that Christians can lose their salvation. I want to just stop right here for a moment and elaborate on that statement. That was the feeling, the theological bend that I had for most of my life. I'm 41 years old. I'll be 42 in May. So 41 and a half years of being on the earth. I've been in church since I was a little three-day-old baby. I've known the name Jesus, I think, before I knew my own name. None of that means anything other than that I am very well acquainted with church and religion, particularly the Christian religion as filtered through the Western world of the last quarter century, more than that. And my theological bend was you give your heart to Christ through a prayer, through faith. You're baptized as a public profession of that faith. And then you maintain your Christianity by being obedient. And where you fail to be obedient, you must get quick forgiveness by confessing and repenting of that. And if you don't, then you will, by some amount of those, which was not a specified amount, by some amount of those unrepented of sins, you would lose your salvation. You would have had it, but sin piles up and then you don't have it. Or you could just get straight up rebellious and say, I don't want it anymore, and you could leave. But whatever the case, that it wasn't important how it happened. It was important that it could happen. And that was enough of a fear factor to keep you motivated to move forward or to run you away in frustration that you weren't able to do it. Now, if you did keep moving forward in face of the fact, in light of the fact that you could lose your salvation and go to hell, then it did help sort of establish a form of self-righteousness in you because you were looking around at the sort of dead bodies of those around you who had given up, and it made you feel a little better, like, well, I made it. What's wrong with these losers? And even though you there was an enormous amount of self-effort on your part in doing so, there was a lot of pride that came in sort of standing after others had fallen. I can't help but be influenced by that mentality as I've come into an understanding of the finished work and of grace. And you'll have to forgive my preaching for working so hard in preaching and teaching to establish people in their righteousness and in their identity, because in so many ways I'm pushing back against that feeling of fear that I had for so long that I wouldn't stay saved. And now, I mean, I remember one of the biggest hurdles for me when I began really embracing the grace of God was the hurdle of just saying out loud that I thought I was eternally secure in Christ. And that was so difficult because my heritage, and then when we went into Pentecost, my Pentecostal heritage is even, I think, to a greater degree, focused around keeping yourself saved, keeping yourself righteous, and through a lot of different things. So when I see texts that people use to try to convince believers or non-believers that you can lose your salvation, I get a little riled up because I think we're damaging the integrity of the context of the New Testament by taking a verse here and there, sort of willy-nilly, to establish a theology that to me is anti-Christ. Because without Christ, you have a theology in which you maintain your righteousness. With Christ, you have a theology where He maintains your righteousness. So a theology, a doctrine, a message, a teaching in which you change your right standing based upon your performance or your lack of performance, to me, that's Antichrist. It's an Antichrist message because it ignores the finished work of Jesus Christ. So 2 Peter 2:1, when it's talking about denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction, Peter is not telling you that Christians can lose their salvation. Here's a reason or so why. We're not going to work through the whole New Testament on why, but if you need a couple of verses to dwell on today, these are two good ones. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So there are others. I mean, Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I could work my way through the New Testament and show you why I believe that if you're in Christ, you belong to Him. But I think that one in John 10 does it better than anything I can put together. You're either in His hand or you're not. And if you're in His hand, you're in a very secure place. Now, I do believe, and I think this is a text in Peter that brings this out. John does some work on this in 1 John chapter 2 as well. But there is a difference in people professing faith and then them proving their profession to be false because they continue to practice immorality despite what they've heard about who Christ is. We see that happen in the book of Acts. We see that happen. Let me read you that John text, by the way. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 is a good place to start. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and doesn't keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, what are those commandments? Well, that commandment, of course, is the new commandment that is given to us, that we should love one another the way that He loves us. And so that's the beginning and the end, in my estimation of New Covenant theology, of what it means to be held within the hands of the Father. Verse 19, 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. This, by the way, does not mean they went to our church, then they didn't go to our church, and now since they don't go to our church, they were never really saved anyway. That's sectarianism and denominationalism. That's Antichrist. John is telling you they went out from us. By the way, the previous verse is, it's the last hour, and as you've heard, Antichrist is coming. And many Antichrists have come. So these are those who leave the doctrine, or leave the family of God, rather, as John has proposed it, one of the original disciples. And John says, well, we know that they weren't ever really in, or they wouldn't have left. And there's a little bit of that then when Peter talks about those who deny the Lord who bought them, because when you get into 2 Peter chapter 2, say verses 20 and 21, if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And so I want to deal with the Lord who bought them in just a second, but Peter, I think, is saying the same thing in a different way that John is saying in his epistle. Now, the Lord who bought them, or as some translation says, the master who bought them, almost a master-servant relationship. Some people take this to mean that everybody is saved because he bought them and they're obviously not following the Lord. I don't believe that's what Peter is saying, although I do believe Christ has paid for everyone. I don't believe we've all walked into that life. That's the whole purpose, isn't it? Not so that we can theologically have been bought, but so that we can have an awareness of who we are. And that is the separation, to me, between those who know and those who don't. It's not that those who don't know haven't been paid for. It's that they don't know they've been paid for, and therefore they don't participate in the life of God that's been paid for on their behalf. Okay, today was a long podcast. Tomorrow, we will continue on with Peter in 2 Peter 2. See you then. God bless.